special and such a blessing to be here. I want to invite you to open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, we're going to continue our series, He's Still Working on Me. And before we get into that, I do want to say a few things to the moms. And so thankful for you and for you being here today. We do have a small gift for you that you'll get on your way out. So just make sure you get that, moms. We are so blessed for you to be here. I wanted to bring you all up front so we could take your picture, but we're live streaming, and I thought some of you would appreciate if we didn't bring you up front. So, but if you want to come up, you could come on up. Anybody? No? Okay. I read some of these. I thought it was funny. Things mom would never say. Some of you can appreciate these. How on earth can you see the TV sitting so far back? Okay. Things mom would never say. Just go ahead and leave all the lights on. It makes the house look more cheery. I don't know if that's a mom. That's more of a dad thing. Turn the lights off. Something your mom would never say. Let me smell that shirt. Yeah, it's good for another week. Things mom would never say. Yeah, absolutely, son. We'll keep that stray dog, and I'll walk it and feed it every day. Things mom would never say. Well, if Timmy's mom says it's okay, well, that's good enough for me. No? Okay. Things mom would never say. The curfew, that's just a general time to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison around here. It's just more of a suggestion, really. No? Okay. Things mom would never say. I don't have a tissue. Just use your sleeve. Right? No? Okay. Things mom would never say. Don't bother wearing a jacket. I'm sure the wind chill will get better later. Moms have always been there to look out for us. And I'm always amazed as the older I get how right mom was. Amen. Right? Who knew? I mean, it was almost prophetic. I told you the other day, my mom used to and still tells me, keep your hands off your face. Like, how prophetic was that? She could have worked for the CDC. Right? I mean, she had this all figured out. Keep your hands clean. Keep your hands off your face. Mom's a genius. They sang the song just a minute ago, If I Could Hear My Mother Pray Again. And D.L. Moody used to tell the story and of a soldier in the Mexican War. The man said, when the Mexican War began, I wanted to enlist, but my mother, seeing that I was resolved to go, said that if I became a Christian, I could go. She pleaded with me. She prayed for me that I would be saved, but I wouldn't. I said, when the war was over, I'll become a Christian, but not before then. All her pleading was in vain, and at last, when I was going away, the soldier said, she took out a watch and said, my son, your father left this watch to me when he died. Take it, and I want you to remember that every day at 12 o'clock, your mother will be praying for you. She gave me her Bible and marked out passages and put a few different references in the flyleaf. He said, I took the watch and the Bible just because my mother gave them to me. I never intended to read that Bible. He said, I went off to Mexico, and one day on a long march, I took out my watch, and it was 12 o'clock. I've been gone for 4 months, but I remembered that my mother at that very hour was praying for me. Something prompted me in my heart. I asked the officer to relieve me for a little while, and I stepped behind a tree away out on the plains of Mexico, and I cried to the God of my mother to save me. God saved him, and after the war was over, he said, I have enlisted again to see if I can do any good for my master's cause. Theodore Roosevelt said, praying mothers are America's greatest assets. Amen. Abraham Lincoln said, no one is poor who had a godly mother. Amen. And you've all heard the quote, I'm sure, from Charles Wesley, who said, I learned more about God from my mother than from all the theologians in England. I don't know if words could sum up how important it is for a woman to be a godly mother to her children and the impact that that can have on the world. So I again want to say we are so thankful for the moms who are here today. I want to remind you again that Mother's Day is not always a happy day for everyone. There's a lot of reason for sadness for a lot of people, a lot of ladies, and so we want to remember that, but we can't let that take away from how thankful we are for godly mothers who are here today. The reason your mom had such an impact on you, if she did, was because of truth. Truth has a sanctifying effect in our lives, and that's the subject of our message today. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John chapter 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And as we look at the scriptures today, we're going to see how God works to sanctify us and how he does that through the truth of the word of God. So before we get into the message, let's pray together again. Father, I thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you for the opportunity to come and to sing your praises, to spend time in your word. I pray that everything we've done so far and everything we do for the rest of this day would be to your honor, to your glory. Lord, we come today in need of your sanctification. We come today in need of your cleansing and your forgiveness. And Father, we have all fallen short of your glory. And we pray that you'll continue to pour out your mercy and your grace and your love. Please help me, for I am nothing without you. And I pray that your word will accomplish its purposes in our hearts today. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. When we look into the scriptures, we see several things. Let me just show you a few scriptures, run through them very quickly. We're sanctified, washed, and justified in the name of Jesus and by his Spirit. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We were in all kinds of wickedness, uncleanness, and ungodliness, but in the name of Jesus, by faith in him, by his power and authority, and through the working of his Spirit, we are washed, we are sanctified, and we are justified. We're sanctified by the body and the blood of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary's cross on that hill called Golgotha, just outside of Jerusalem. His blood was shed so that we might be sanctified. He gave his body for our sins, Hebrews 10:10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And those priests, they had to go back and offer sacrifices day after day after day after day, year after year after year. But Jesus Christ offered his blood, offered his body as a sacrifice for sins for all people, for all time, once for all. Amen. Sanctified by his blood and by his body. We're sanctified by faith. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. When Paul was before King Agrippa, He's recounting his conversion. He's talking about what happened when he came to Christ. And Jesus, he's recounting the words of Jesus. And he says in Acts 26, 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jesus called Paul to go and preach the gospel. He said, what I want you to do is to preach the gospel that people are sanctified by faith in me, Jesus Christ. We're sanctified by faith. The work of sanctification is done by the Holy Spirit, Romans 15, 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And it's not just Jews that get sanctification, but everyone gets sanctification by faith in Jesus, through his sacrifice, and by the power of his Holy Spirit. We're sanctified by purging ourselves of ungodly influences. And I write this verse down, if you don't mind, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 16 through 18, and 2 Timothy 2, verses 20 and 21. In verses 20 and 21, he says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You see, you have a part in your sanctification, and one of the parts is to remove yourself, to purge yourself from ungodly influences. If you go back to verses 16 to 18, you'll see that's what he's talking about. Those ungodly influences in your life will bring you into ungodly lifestyle, and you've got to purge yourself from those if you want to be a vessel unto honor. What's that mean? Some vessels are unto honor, some are to unhonor, dishonor. Anybody studied enough history to know what a chamber pot is? Anybody old enough to know what a chamber pot is? God bless you. How y'all doing back there? Chamber pot. Today, boys and girls, we call that a potty. But before they had indoor plumbing, people had chamber pots inside the house to do their business. Guess what? You don't keep the dinner plates with the chamber pots. Right? I mean, I'm assuming that most of you people, how many of you like to drink coffee? Anybody? All right. Now, do any of you keep your coffee cups, your coffee mugs, do you keep them in the floor by the toilet? I mean, is that where they go? No, you don't put those things together. The honorable and the dishonorable, they don't go together. You, if you keep your good dishes by the toilet, they're going to get defiled. And guess what? If you have evil, ungodly influences in your life, you're going to get defiled. So you purge yourself from those. You remove yourself from those wrong influences so that you can be clean, sanctified, set apart, right? We wash our dishes, we put them in the cupboard, away from the toilet. All right, everybody with me today? I love the early service. Some of y'all need to love that coffee a little bit more before you come in. Love it a little bit more. We keep it clean. Keep it set apart so it's good to use. Starting at verse 6 in John chapter 17, this, by the way, is the Lord's Prayer. A lot of you grew up like me. When they taught about the Lord's Prayer, they were talking actually about what we would call today the model prayer. When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, we would call that the model prayer. It's not what Jesus prayed, but it's how he taught them to pray. This is Jesus praying. This is the Lord's Prayer. This is a glimpse. We see Jesus going off to pray and praying all night. We see him praying so many times, but here we get a glimpse of the prayer of Jesus. He opens up and shows us in the scriptures the things that he prayed. And in verse 6, Jesus begins his prayer for his disciples. He prays for both those who were with Jesus on earth and all those who would believe, including us and those disciples who will come after us. He prays for protection from evil. He prays for purification through the truth. He prays for participation through unity. Beautiful truths are seen through this entire prayer of Jesus, and all of them are worthy of your consideration. They're worthy of deeper study. But today we're just going to focus on the part of prayer where he prays for the purification or the sanctification of his disciples through the truth. We're going to focus on verses 15 through 24. Look with me back at verse 15, if you would, please. Verse 15, he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. And we back up to verses 15 through 19. I want you to notice, first of all, that Jesus prayed for your sanctification. Jesus prayed for your sanctification. Now, I don't know if that has an impact on you or not, but the fact that Jesus prayed at all is amazing to me. Jesus Christ is the Creator God, the one who created the universe. And many times when Jesus prayed, he did not pray because he needed to pray, but he prayed for our benefit. He prayed for our benefit. In John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42, they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me." One of the reasons that we have these scriptures, one of the reasons we have Jesus' prayer recorded, is so that we would believe, so that we would understand, so that we would know that the things that Jesus Christ prayed to the Father, they always come to pass. Jesus prayed for the disciples to be sanctified, and they were. Jesus prayed for those who would believe because of the testimony of those disciples. He prayed for them to be sanctified, and they were. And guess what, friends? He prayed for you to be sanctified. He prayed for you to be sanctified. It is the desire of Jesus Christ for us to be sanctified. He didn't pray for us to be taken out of the world, but that we would be delivered or kept or protected from the evil. God prayed, Jesus prayed for us to be protected from the influence of Satan in our lives. He said, "We're not of the world." In the same way that Jesus Christ was not of this world, we are not of this world. And he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Look at verse 19. "For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Jesus Christ prayed for your sanctification. What does it mean to you to know that your mother prayed for you? What does it mean for you today to know that other people are praying for you? Isn't it an encouraging thing? Can you not feel it sometimes? You just feel it. You just know that people are praying for you. Most of you know, I cut my knee the other day. And I'm a really special person. I think that it takes a special person to cut their knee on a miter saw. Like, I may be the only person on the planet who's ever done that. Like, that's a difficult thing to do, but I did. And I didn't want anybody to know because, you know, I'm prideful. I want people to know. But some of you people talk too much. So people knew. But that's not a bad thing, because the people who knew prayed for me. And I'm glad. I'm thankful. I think that the doctor basically said I cut my knee as bad as I could without tearing everything up. Like, just a little bit deeper, a little bit over, and then it's major surgery and really bad news. Like, if you're going to cut your knee with a miter saw, that's the way you want to do it. Right? I just, in case you're wondering, you don't want to do that. But if you do, do it the way I did it. What's the point? I don't know. The point is, it's a blessing to have people praying for you. Prayer matters. But hear me. It means a lot for you people to pray for me. It really does. It means a lot for my family to pray for me. But the knowledge that Jesus Christ himself prayed for me is overwhelming. Because let's be honest. Brother Mike prays for you. Maybe God hears him. Maybe he doesn't. Right? God doesn't always answer Brother Mike's prayer the way he wants him to. But you know what? When Jesus prays for you, God always answers. Now, y'all think I'm just picking on Mike. The truth is, that happens for me too. I pray for you. God's not always going to do my will, but he's always going to do his will. Amen. Yeah, so stop feeling sorry for Mike. Goodness, he'll be okay. Jesus prayed for your sanctification. Next, I want you to notice with me that Jesus provides for your sanctification. He provides for your sanctification. He prays in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Who is Jesus? He is the truth. Who is Jesus? He is the word. He is the truth personified. He is the word of God in the flesh. He is the truth. He provides the sanctification. He provides everything we need. We're provided for by him. First of all, he provided himself. He provided himself. Verse 19 says, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself. Now we know that Jesus is the Christ, right? What does that mean? Well, it's not his last name. Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ. It's who he is. The Christ is the Messiah. The Christ is the anointed one. You know what it means? It means the Christ means that he is the one who is set apart, the one who is sanctified. And he sanctified himself how? Because he was set apart to be the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He is the only one who is worthy. He is the only one who could save. He's the only one who could save anybody, much less everybody. He's the only Savior, the only wise God, the only sacrifice acceptable for the sins of the world. And he said, I sanctify myself. So he provides for our sanctification because he provided himself. He provides for our sanctification because he gives us the truth. Look at 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How is it that we're saved? By the word of God. Tell me something. What would you know about Jesus? What would you know about God? What would you know about heaven and hell? What would you know about anything in the spiritual realm and the kingdom of God if it weren't for the Bible? What would you know if you didn't have the word of God? But God has given us his word. He's given us his truth. And let me tell you, every revival that's happened in the world, every great outpouring of the Spirit of God that's ever happened in the world has happened because of an increase of the study of the word of God. Amen. It brings light into the darkness. Let me just say this. If all I ever knew about Jesus was what I heard from other people, that's a terrifying thought to me. Because people say really dumb things about Jesus. If all I ever knew about God is what I heard from somebody else or watched in a YouTube video, that's a terrifying thought to me. Because although there may be some good stuff on YouTube and there may be some good things you can hear out there, there's a lot of trash too. What do I need? I need the truth of the word of God, and he's provided that. His incorruptible word of God that he has provided for us that we could be sanctified by. We can be born again by. We have to take the word and we have to keep the word. Amen. We have to take the word and we have to keep the word. Revelation chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. The Lord says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He writes to the church and he says, listen, you've got some rewards, you've got a crown, but you need to keep the word. And because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Do you see it? When you get the word and you keep the word, then he helps you to stay sanctified. We have to take the word, we have to believe the word, but then we have to live the word out. And when we do that, he gives us a special empowering to overcome temptation. But we ignore the word. We disobey the word, we push down the word, and then we fall in temptation. So we have to take the word, we have to keep the word, and when we do that, he helps us in that time of tempting. He provides himself, he provides his truth, and he provides cleansing. He provides cleansing. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. And when we look at Ephesians 5, most of the time we look at the relationship between the husband and wife, and certainly there are truths there that apply directly to that relationship. But that's not what he's talking about. What his primary application is the relationship between himself and his church. But he got that? Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. See, he provided himself. That, in order that, he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Jesus gave himself, but then he gave his word. And we are washed by the water of the word. We are cleansed by the word of God. That's what he says in John 15. Look at this, John 15, 1 through 3. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. His word provides cleansing. His word cleans us and helps us to put away the filth of the flesh that we can walk in holiness, sanctified and meet for the master's use. Jesus prayed for your sanctification. He provides for your sanctification, and Jesus is the purpose of your sanctification. Look at verse 18 in our text again. God has given us a purpose in our sanctification. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? As long as you believe in Jesus, you get saved, then why does it matter how you live? Does it? I mean, is it okay if you just, one, two, three, repeat after me, say the ABC prayer, and then you're all good and you can just go on however you want to? No. No, our sanctification matters. Our living in holiness matters. If you're saved, you ought to live like you're saved. Is it so you can stay saved? No. It's because we want to live for the one who died for us and rose again. It matters. So Jesus is the purpose of our sanctification. It's all about him. First of all, he gives us ministry. Ministry. Verse 18 says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. Verse 20, neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in them, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You see, when Jesus Christ saved you, he saved you to serve him. When he saved you, he called you into his army. He made you a soldier of the cross. He called you to live for him, to fight for him, to strive for him, to do his business. And what is his business? Well, he is in the business of saving the lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And as the Father sent the Son into the world, even so the Son sends us into the world. Your purpose is the ministry of reconciliation. That's why we're here. If we didn't have that purpose, then why would he leave us here? Why not just save us and take us straight to heaven? He leaves us here to do the ministry, to do the work of the ministry, to reach others with the gospel. And every single day of your life, you see somebody who doesn't know Jesus. Every day of your life, you're going to come across somebody who needs the gospel. And he's given us the ministry of reconciliation so that they could believe. He has sent us into the world so that the world can believe. Now, I want you to notice that that happens through unity. He gives us ministry and he gives us unity. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I want you to see that this ministry is linked directly to the unity that we have in Christ. Jesus and God the Father are one. Everybody with me? And when he saved you, he makes you one with himself. And in the unity that we have with Christ, the more unified that we are with Jesus, the more effective we'll be at reaching others with the gospel. Do you see that? That they may, look at verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. When your heart is unified with the heart of Jesus, what's the desire of your heart? When your mind is unified with Jesus, when your will, when your purpose, when your life is unified with Jesus, then the world may believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't do it alone. We've got to be unified with Him. He's the purpose of our sanctification. He gives us ministry. He gives us unity. He gives us maturity. He gives us maturity. Some of us could use a little bit of that. Okay, all of us could use a lot of that. Verse 23. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Now this word perfect used to really throw me for a loop because I've been saved for a minute, but I'm not perfect. Some of you have been saved as long as I've been alive, and you're not perfect. Some people got saved when they were really young and lived their whole life for Jesus and were completely sold out for Christ and walked in holiness, but you know what? They weren't perfect. So we have to understand the definition of the word. This word perfect doesn't mean sinless. It means to be complete. It means to come to full maturity. This means that we're putting off the old man, putting on the new man, that we're walking in holiness. We're growing more Christ-like day by day. And Jesus Christ has given us the purpose of growing in maturity, to grow up. We understand that maturity is the acceptance of responsibility. We see that in the world today. As your kids get older, you give them a little more responsibility, a little more responsibility. And as they grow and take ownership of that responsibility, we say they are maturing. Amen. The same thing happens spiritually. When you first get saved, you might need a Sunday school teacher or a pastor or a parent to say, did you read your Bible today? Did you say your prayers? You might need a good brother or sister to say, how's your Bible study? You might need a good brother or sister to say, hey, did you tell anybody about Jesus today? You might need your pastor to say, how many gospel tracts did you hand out this week? You might need a lot of encouragement, but as you grow in maturity, you're going to take on that responsibility personally, and it's not going to have to be somebody telling you, somebody reminding you, somebody admonishing you, but you're going to come to a place of maturity so that you can be a mentor to somebody else. That's the way it's supposed to go. That when you grow in maturity, you help someone else to grow in maturity. But if we all stay babes in Christ, then nobody's growing up. Nobody's coming to perfection. Nobody's maturing. And we're not partaking in the things that God is sanctifying us for. He's sanctifying us for the ministry, for unity, for maturity. So what's the point? Grow up. Take on responsibility. Be a mature Christian. Don't depend on somebody else to keep you faithful in the basics. But be faithful so you can help someone else to grow in maturity. We're supposed to be passing these things on. The last thing Jesus, he is the purpose of our sanctification, is for glory. I want you to look at this. Verse 22. I know some of you are having a hard time staying awake this morning, and maybe I would if I was sitting down there too, but listen to me. This is incredible truth that you don't want to miss. Verse 22, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Isaiah tells us that God the Father, Jehovah God, said, my glory I will not give to another. It's impossible for us to have the same glory to the same extent that Jesus does. And yet, Jesus said, glorify thou me with the glory I had with thee from the beginning. And now he says, the glory you gave me, I have given to them. What does it mean? Does it mean we become gods? No. It means that we are partakers of the same kind of glory, the same type of glory that Christ has. He has given us the glory of his Holy Spirit. He has given us the glory of his purity, the glory of his holiness. and the glory of being in his presence forever. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, he sanctifies you, he washes you, he justifies you, you're made right with God. But friends, listen, when you are saved, you are going to see Jesus in all of his glory one day. That's the purpose of your sanctification. That's why he sets you apart. That's why he pulls you out of the dead and puts you in the living. That's why he brings you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That's why he forgives your sins and gives you justification in his sight, so that you can be with him and see him in all his glory, and so that he can get all the praise. He alone is worthy. Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. A lot of people have different ideas about what truth is. If you study history, you'll study about the Roman emperors. One of the emperors was Marcus Aurelius. He was a Stoic philosopher, and Stoicism has become popular again in the world today. Marcus Aurelius said, everything we hear is an opinion, not a fact. Everything we see is a perspective, not the truth. And there's so many people in the world today who buy into that lie, that there is no truth. I got news for you. There's truth in the world today. There's truth and there's lies. I can give you a basic example. Gravity. Gravity's true. Go outside. Throw something up, it'll come back down. Climb up on a high place and step off. You'll find out that gravity is real. Amen. Gravity's true. There's truth in the world today. And God's word is the greatest of all those truths. Amen. Winston Churchill once said, men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing had happened. When you come across the word of God, you've come across truth. Some of you have stumbled across it today, and I want to ask you, what are you going to do? Are you going to stumble over it, pick yourself up, and go on as though nothing happened? Or will you believe the truth? Will you receive the truth? Will you be changed by the truth? Jesus is the Christ. He sanctified himself, set himself apart to be the Savior of the world. And when you believe in him, he sets you apart to live for him in holiness, in righteousness. This morning, we're going to stand together and get ready for a verse of invitation. If the Holy Spirit of God's convicting your heart, I plead with you to come. If you've never been born again, I plead with you to repent and put your faith in Jesus. If you've been saved, but you need to follow Christ in baptism, identify with him publicly. If you need to get something right with him, I beg you to come this morning.
Page 573.